Robin Ryan. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Liam Delta. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. I'm Jackie Malmstrom.
And I'm Robert Barncourt. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO Radio at 7 a.m., it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, guest host Lisa Loving speaks with housing activist Vahid Brown about his grassroots coverage of the City of Portland's sweeps of homeless camps and what is happening next. At 9 a.m. on One Land Many Voices with Mohamed Nabil and Maxine Fuchsen. At 10, tune in to Chris Andre. She'll host Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 a.m. on the Radio Zine, host Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher speaks with Norman Cornett, an educator who developed a new way of teaching, which he calls dialogic. It's the subject of a documentary, which is called Professor Norman Cornett, Since When Do We Divorce the Right Answer from the Honest Answer? And at 11:30, TUC Radio will present Professor Alfred McCoy speaking on Obama's geopolitical strategy for containing China. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth with a look at the ongoing violence in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
In Jerusalem today, Israeli forces shot and severely wounded a Palestinian woman at one of their new flash checkpoints that they've set up throughout the Palestinian parts of the city in recent weeks. A Palestinian was killed and another critically wounded in Bet Shemesh in central Israel after allegedly attempting to stab an Israeli police officer. More than 50 Palestinians were abducted today by Israeli forces and taken to military prisons for interrogation. And last night, a Palestinian man was severely wounded by Israeli troops in Hebron after a traffic accident in which he hit an Israeli soldier who was standing in the road. Since the beginning of October, more than 50 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces, many of them teenagers. During this same time period, Israeli authorities claim that 8 Israelis have been killed, but only 2 have been publicly identified. I spoke with a member of the Christian Peacemaker teams in Hebron, Cody O'Rourke. The group bears nonviolent witness to the ongoing attacks on Palestinians in the city, where several hundred Israeli settlers have established a colony in the center of the major Palestinian city, home to over 100,000 Palestinians. For the past 2 days, right-wing Israeli settlers have posted pictures of some members of the nonviolent Christian Peacemaker teams with writing in Hebrew that calls on their fellow settlers to carry out hits against the Christian peacemakers. I asked Cody to put this month's violence in context of the larger history of Hebron.
You know, we live right there in the center of the old city. Hebron has been occupied, been under a military occupation since 1967. So specifically inside of Hebron, where you have over 100 military impediments to freedom of movement, whether that's, you know, road closures, Israeli military checkpoints, illegal Israeli settlements. What you have is you have this, you know, this matrix of control within inside of, you know, Hebron that makes it almost impossible for the Palestinians to move about, you know, freely and without harassment and without abuse. So it's, you know, over time, these abuses, you know, kind of, you know, pile up.
And what are some of the things that you observed living in Hebron as far as the way the settlers, the Israeli settlers, interact with the Palestinian population?
It's the case in which, you know, the Israeli settlers within sight of Hebron are able to act with absolute impunity. There's a long history of documented settler abuse against Palestinians and internationals. And in fact, even right now, there are actually posters going up across Hebron where the local settlers from Kiryat Arba, from Tel Rameda, from Beit Hadassah, and so on and so forth, are actually having a call to have aggression against international human rights observers there in Hebron. So that's kind of the audacity that they're able to operate with inside of Hebron, knowing that there's not going to be any legal recourse against their actions.
And most recently, there have been protests in Hebron, people killed during protests. And this past Saturday was the killing of Fadel El-Kawasmi, an 18-year-old Palestinian, by an Israeli settler. Now, that the immediate aftermath was captured on video, and it seems to show an Israeli soldier planting a knife next to Fadel El-Kawasmi's body. Is that something that that you have seen or have familiarity with that case at all?
Yeah, I do have familiarity with that case. What we've seen is that that's not necessarily an isolated incident, right? In that, approximately a month prior, Hadil Hashlamon, was executed under similar circumstances. Right, she was passing through the Israeli military checkpoint, which was approximately 100 yards north of where Fadil was killed. And during that incident, Hadil was, was shot and killed. And while there was an international observer there taking photos, his commentary was the same thing, in that, Hadil didn't pose any threat. There wasn't a knife. The soldiers reacted. Then in return, after she was killed, evidence was then again planted. So there's that element, but also the day in which Fadil, was killed on Shahada Street there, a CPTer was arrested. And then in return, some other Palestinian activists were also arrested. So then what you see is that continuation of trying to arrest people, capture the evidence, and be able to maintain and control the narrative of how these human rights abuses are being, perpetrated, right? Because it's the Israelis' military's agenda to create a narrative in which they are the victim.
Well, and it's interesting that these particular incidents happened on Shuhada Street, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the history of that street in Hebron, where I believe settlers took over the upper levels of some of the houses and have a history of throwing things down on the Palestinians down below.
Yeah, so Shahada Street has been closed down, for almost 20 years. There's an area of Shahada Street that is open to Palestinians, but then there's a section of Shahada Street, which isn't open to Palestinians. And if a Palestinian walks down that street, they're a lot of times arrested and taken away, without notice or without explanation. This is a case in which, settlers, from the Beit Hadassah settlement, the Kiryat Arba settlement, the Tel Rameda settlement, are able to operate, with impunity. So, what that looks like is there is, a settler, her name is Anat Cohen, and you can Google her on YouTube. Time and time again, international observers and Palestinians have recorded Anat Cohen attacking people, taking their cameras out of their hands, hitting them, pushing them, spitting in their faces. And the Israeli police, never take her to jail. There's no consequences for her behavior. And so when the Israeli settlers realize that, they can operate however they want to, the violence is continually perpetuated.
Earlier this week, I spoke with Portland resident Maya Rotem, who grew up in Israel but is now a passionate supporter of Palestinian equal rights.
I think it's heartbreaking. I think it's heartbreaking on all levels and from all sides. Being an Israeli that's a part of the Palestinian struggle and that's in solidarity with the Palestinian struggle just means for me that I hurt everyone who gets hurt on both sides. As far as East Jerusalem, I feel like it's the consequence of decades of neglect, decades of discrimination, decades of suffocating people and people's lives under the occupation.
What kind of conditions are people living under?
Well, for decades, East Jerusalem has been suffering for more than 50% less classrooms than the number of children in East Jerusalem. We're seeing more and more house demolitions. We're seeing more and more settlers going in, occupying homes, Palestinian families being kicked out of their homes. We're seeing more and more child arrests, children as young as 8 years old being arrested off the streets of East Jerusalem, interrogated for hours without their parents or lawyers present. We're seeing more and more administrative detentions, people that are being arrested and held without trial and without even most of the time knowing what their charges are against them. I feel like when you take all these things together with the threat on Al-Aqsa now, this is just something that is bound to happen. And people are bound to fight for their lives when they don't see anything better in the future for them.
So you think like Palestinian youth are feeling that there's no future whatsoever for them?
Yeah, no, there's no future. They've been under a right-wing government for the past 20 years. It doesn't look like there's any help coming from the international community. The situation in East Jerusalem is just getting worse and worse. There's now more than 50% unemployment in East Jerusalem. East Jerusalem is essentially cut off from the West Bank completely and has went from being an urban hub to just a secluded area.
And do you see the Israeli society waking up at all to the situation of the Palestinians, or is it becoming more closed off?
For me, following Israeli news, it feels like it's getting a lot more closed off. Israelis are under two different sets of censorships, the political censorship and the military censorship. The way that information is presented to Israelis is completely out of context and at times just plain out not true. And so there's definitely an increased sense of hatred, an increased sense of violence and racism and just blind, violent hatreds towards anyone who's not Jewish right now in Israel.
What kind of similarities do you see with South Africa and the apartheid?
Well, the film tonight is a wonderful film. I think that they make a lot of very good and important comparisons. I feel that for me, the thing that hit me the most while watching the film, and I've watched it a few times now, is watching South Africans who have traveled to Palestine and say that what they see feels like it's a lot worse than what was happening in the apartheid system in South Africa. Israel has more than 50 different laws differentiating between Jews and non-Jews. It is illegal in Israel for a Jewish person to marry a non-Jewish person. And this wall that's twice as tall as the Berlin Wall and about 13 times longer than the Berlin Wall is just the epitome of segregation, isn't it?
That was Maya Rotem, an Israeli citizen who now lives in Portland, speaking with me earlier this week at the Tree of Life conference. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
Did you see them praying? Watch the army marching in. As they clubbed old women, did you see the general grin? Watch the stones fly and the snipers taking aim. On Shatila's birthday, it's a calculated game. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear him screaming? Watch the horror on his face as he hid for cover in a tiny unprotected space. Did you hear his father pleading? There is a child here, trying to protect his son, who yelled in horror and in fear that they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you feel the wind blow from the helicopter blades? Did you smell the tear gas, see the demolition raids? Did you see the rockets and the dumb bullets fly? Did you feel the horror to watch one more young boy die as they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem? Did you see the roadblocks letting nobody go past? Watch the blood flow as time is running fast. See someone's brother taking his last breath, so close to the hospital, but closer still to death. Then they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem.
That was David Rovick singing The Children of Jerusalem. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio here on KBOO Portland.
October is Filipino American History Month,